Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Sports talk that says what you're thinking, but just too afraid to say. This is Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yeah, it is 10 o'clock straight up. My name is Joey Vendetta. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jays at the Rogers Center tonight against San Diego, a team that doesn't come here often. And I don't blame them. It's a heck of a lot nicer in San Diego. Jerry Dutoit acquitting himself quite well at the Canadian Open in Oakville, Glen Abbey. But, of course, it was won by Johnny Vegas, who came late with a late charge, overtaking the leaders, including Dustin Johnson. Chris Sale cuts up a jersey. We'll continue to discuss that. Bautista is back for the Blue Jays. Rogers Cup going today. Nick Kyrgios against Shapovalov, kid who was on the program earlier in the week. Tough to go to Rio. Even the athletes can't find a place to stay. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss more. We'll also get David Hearn on, who played this weekend at Glen Abbey in the Canadian Open. John Molinaro will talk TFC. Big win for them. 4-1 against DC United on Saturday. Javinko is back. But joining us now, a gentleman who has had quite a career. He was the offensive coordinator for Montreal. He played professionally in the National Football League for Tampa Bay and NFL Europe for the Berlin Thunder. And, of course, coached the Argos to victory in the 100th Grey Cup. My pleasure to welcome head coach of the Toronto Argonauts, Scott Milanovic. Scott, how are you today? Thank you so much for doing this on a game day.
I'm good. My pleasure.
So, Scott, before we talk about today's game, there was some really interesting stuff in your career, and I wanted to touch upon before we get to today's game. You know, when you look at with what happened in NFL Europe and it went away, and I know obviously you played there and you ended up playing for the LA Extreme as well, so you had a pretty well-traveled career. But as a guy that's a quarterback and you understand the position incredibly well, I'm very curious as to your thoughts. Specifically in the NFL right now, there seems to be a real chasm between, you know, the superstar quarterbacks, and then you're seeing a lot of guys making a lot of money who aren't necessarily superstars. The NFL Europe was there as a developmental league to a large degree, and the NFL has discussed that. Why do you think that there's this kind of chasm now at the quarterback position?
Well, I think it's tough to just get experience. There's a lot. Things have changed a lot since I played. Most of the college offenses back then were pro style. Mine wasn't, but most were pro style under center. And I think the things that you're seeing in college football now are very different than what the guys are asked to do at the NFL level.
And why is that? Is that just because colleges are just, you know, we know what's going on. You know, the Big 12's talking about expanding, and we know that the stakes are so high in college football. There's way more money. There's all the regional college football networks. Do you think strictly it's a function of economics?
No, I think it's a schematic thing. A lot of these college football teams have gone to the spread offense, where much like we do in the CFL, where the quarterbacks run the zone read and they're throwing and they're going no huddle and they're not doing the things. In the NFL, you know, there was that little period of time where teams were trying to do some of that. And they just learned, I think, that the quarterbacks can't take the pounding at the NFL level to run an offense that way. So I just don't. I mean, I'm speculating as much as anybody, but I don't know that that the offenses are as conducive to a quick transition anymore.
All right. Speaking of offenses, you've got a team that you're facing tonight. Look, you had a chance to make a statement against Ottawa and the battle for first place. That didn't, you know, last. I think it was in the last 4 minutes where the game was decided. But, you know, the defense kind of, I won't say needs to make a statement, but if you want to make a statement, this is probably a pretty good game to do so. The Alouettes averaging 14 points per game so far, the lowest in the CFL. How do you approach a game against a team that doesn't have a prolific offense for your defense?
Well, I think they're in a little bit of the same boat that we've been in. The numbers don't look really good for them. We're aware of that. But Kevin Glenn's talented. Their backup quarterback, whoever they're going to end up playing tonight at this point, they're talented guys. And DeRon Carter is as good a receiver as there is in the league. They've always had great tailbacks. So they've had some troubles. They've run into a couple hot defenses. But we've kind of had similar struggles. So I don't know that our guys are going to be overconfident in this game. We're hungry and is desperate to get a win. We were disappointed we didn't finish that up last week when we had a chance. And we need to get back on the right track.
And look, as you said, kind of in the same boat, right? The Argos offense has had some struggles, mostly in the running game, and not a ton of big plays and giving up some sacks. So, look, the challenge, I guess, is that the threat of a run game to complement Ricky Ray's passing ability. But, you know, without the former, the opposing defenses have been able to key on the passing game. Is it a case of where you guys are going to have to try to – are you going to favor one or the other, or is it a situation where you're just going to have to read it as the game goes along?
Well, I think the key for us tonight is to do well on first down. They give you many different looks defensively. There'll be some looks where they'll force us to run it, and there'll be some looks where they'll tell us that we can't run it based on how many people they're putting in the box. So we have to take what they're going to give us, but it's really important that we're getting positive yards on first down, because if we're living all night in second and eight, second and nine, second and 10, that's where we've gotten ourselves into trouble, where teams know we've got to throw it and they're hitting our quarterback. So we need to do a good job running the ball. We need to do a good job distributing the ball in the passing game on first down. And then when we have our opportunities to go up top, we need to make them stick.
It's the Argos facing the Alouettes tonight at BMO. It is head coach Scott Milanovic on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And this is a statement game, I think, for both teams. And they, you know, entering week five with a kind of a sour taste in their mouth. The Owls got smoked 31-7. And, of course, you know, Toronto's coming off the loss, as we discussed. But you guys had won two games on the road prior to that. So it looked like you were gaining some steam. So tonight seems to be one of those games that if you can win it, we'll put you guys back in the right direction. But overall this season, you know, look, you lost a key defensive player in Akwasi Anza, and it looks like A.J. Jefferson may have to play a bigger role. But again, tonight is one of those games where there's a lot on the line, and it's pretty early in the season, right?
Yeah, it feels like that it starts to happen earlier and earlier every season. When I first got into this league 8 years ago, or however long ago it was, there was usually one or two teams that you knew you were going to beat no matter what. And it's just not the case anymore. You saw Saskatchewan knock off Ottawa last week. So you have to bring your A game, and you don't want to get behind the records early in the season. And, you know, everybody's shooting for the playoffs. Everybody wants to win the East so that they can get a bye and be that one step closer to the Grey Cup. So, yeah, I think it is a very important game. I feel like it's a game that we need to win. It's our third game at home. We need to get back on the right foot in front of our fans and get this thing rolling at BMO like we wanted to.
And before we let you go, there's an interesting storyline as well. There's a number of familiar faces for Montreal on the opposite side. You got Brandon Whitaker, played in 51 games there as a member of the Alouettes, and offensive coordinator Marcus Brady served as the coordinator and Anthony Calvillo's backup. So there's a little familiarity there. Do you guys have from a rivalry standpoint, other than Hamilton, I would imagine Montreal, you know, Montreal-Toronto has always been a rivalry in terms of hockey, but I imagine that's a rivalry for you guys. But look, you're 2-2. You're looking to right the good ship Argonaut, and I've been a fan since I was a kid growing up watching the Argos in Toronto. And I think that, you know, you have the pieces. You just got to get through this stretch here where, like you said, you've got these injuries. And like you said, earlier and earlier, it seems like the pressure's on earlier, right, Scott, than it has been in the last few years.
It definitely does. There's any one of these teams in the East could end up winning it. And I know you hear coaches say things like that all the time, but it's really the truth. I know what the score was last week against Hamilton with them, but it was close well into the third quarter. That game could have gone either way. I don't know that the final score was really indicative of the type of game that was played. So we need to get back on a roll. We need to get that third win and then move on from there and try to build some momentum.
All right, we'll let you go, but really quickly, BMO Field, your thoughts on it? It looks great. It looks great on television. It seems like there's a great vibe, the tailgating going on. It seems like there's a bit of a groundswell there. We know how passionate the hardcore Argo fans are. What's your take on so far what you've experienced at your new home?
I love it. Our players love it. Our coaches love it. I think it's just what we need. It's intimate. It's nice. Our locker room is amazing. Our players love playing there. Now we just now we need to win there. That's the next step for us. We love playing there. We're thankful for the place we have to call home now.
As the saying goes, build it and they will come. Thanks a lot, Scott. Good luck tonight against the Alouettes. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
That is Scott Milanovich, head coach of the Toronto Argonauts, who, of course, play tonight against the Montreal Alouettes. I'm sure there's some tickets still available if you want to head down there. And look, it's a lot of fun. If you don't really know what to do on your Monday night, you could pick a lot worse things. And, of course, Jim Barker from the Argos is going to join the Andrew Walker show this afternoon at 2:40. So make sure you have a listen to that. And then we're going to talk to Molinaro John about the TFC, who, of course, play at BMO Field and lit it up there. They absolutely lit it up there on the weekend. Well, maybe they didn't light it up so much as this guy lit it up.
Pick this off for DC from service. This is the angle you want.
20 minutes in, here's Jovinko's free kick. It's a good run. He scores for Toronto. He's broken the drought. Sebastian Jovinko does what he does best, and it's 1-0.
Oh, yeah. How about those set-piece goals? The two of them. The free kick goals from Jovinko. If you didn't see them, go watch them. It does not get any better than that. So we'll talk to John Molinaro in hour number three about the TFC and their big win on the weekend. And look, again, as I said, if you haven't been to an Argo game and you don't have a lot to do on a Monday night, it's going to be hot. It's worth going down there just to get out. Down by the lake where it's probably a little bit cooler. My name is Joey Vendetta. It is 12 minutes after 10 o'clock. Thank you for being with me. And, of course, you can get to me on Twitter, at Radio Vendetta. We got Steven Martin, not defending Sale, but I'm really done with the whole throwback thing. Now, are you done with it as a fashion statement? Are you done with it as a topic? Are you done with it? You're not going to wear throwbacks anymore? I've seen some people with their own wardrobes, never mind jerseys. I'm talking about like what people wear when they go out that look like throwbacks. We're going to talk to Bob Nightingale here in a second. The Toronto Blue Jays, of course, tonight against the San Diego Padres. And one of the rumored trade partners is the San Diego Padres. Is this deal going to actually happen? Again, Jays aren't dealing from a position of strength in my mind. Not by a long shot. They've made a big deal today, though, without actually giving somebody up. They picked up a slugger, a right fielder, in Jose Bautista, who's back in Toronto where he should be. And how much of an acquisition will that be? It's pretty big. Jeff Hunter tweets in, another lefty power hitter like Bruce would be nice. Yeah, Jay Bruce from the Reds would be great. Strikes out a ton. Would fit right in. Could definitely use him. I mean, look, if you don't have anything else, the question is, do you pick up a guy like Jay Bruce? That's the question. Like, do you make a deal just for making a deal? 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590. Jays tonight on Sportsnet. Rogers Cup is on in about 45 minutes at 11 a.m. And Nick Kyrgios is going after the kid. Kid who was on the program, I think a couple of weeks ago I had him on, won Wimbledon, the junior championship. Shapovalov. What a great handle. Kid grew up in Vaughan. I want to see how he does against Nicky Kyrgios. Right? Nick Kyrgios, who I personally love because I think he's just nuts. Guy is so entertaining. So that match goes today. Shapovalov against Kyrgios. And again, Nick Kyrgios could be one of the best players in the world if he wasn't such a lunatic. But he's admitted himself that he doesn't even really like tennis that much. We're joined now by a gentleman who is a frequent contributor to this program, does a fine job for the MLB Network as an insider, and of course for the USA Today, and has the inside scoop on a ton of things. You can follow him on Twitter. His name is Bob Nightingale, at B Nightingale. Bob, thank you very much for being on the program. How are you today?
Yeah, doing great. Yourself?
I am intrigued by all the banter, all the discussion, and yet, listen, other than Pomerantz, not really any, you know, not a ton of activity going on, but it looks like the Cubs, if they can add Aroldis Chapman, they've really shored up their only weakness from what I can see. How close are they to this deal? Is this deal going to happen between the Chicago Cubs and the New York Yankees?
It will. It looks like the 4-for-1, you know, including their top guy, Guyber, and Adam Warren, pitcher. So they got plenty of depth, and they need another reliever. Yeah, I know they got Montgomery last week from Seattle, but also to get Chapman, you know, really establishes them really as heavy World Series favorites.
And now the Yankees, we know they don't like to rebuild, but is this a clear indication that this team is finally going to rebuild? We know Yankees fans really generally don't stand for this kind of thing. How's this going to go over in New York?
Well, you know, that remains to be seen what to do with the others. Chapman, you know, is a free agent in the year.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay him $15 million a year as a closer when you already have Andrew Miller and Don Betances. So what they do here is they get a lot more for him than they gave up to begin with, to get him from Cincinnati. And then spend the next week deciding what to do. And do you trade in Carlos Beltran? Do you move Miller? I would think Beltran would probably be in play because he's a free agent as well. You know, but you're right about the Yankees. This will be the first time since 1989 that they've been sellers at the deadline.
Okay, so now if you are sitting here and you're a general manager and you're close and you are a team that has a shot at winning your division or a shot at the wild card at the very least, can you remember a time in the last several years where you've seen this many teams that are in the shopping mode? Because it doesn't seem to me to be a buyer's market by any stretch.
No, I think it's just a case where, you know, there's a lot of bad teams out there, and all the good teams, you know, have flaws. So not like any team can just sit back and say, you know what, we're good right now. I mean, even the Cubs, they're going to win this division going away. I think their thing was, you know, let's go all in here. Let's go for the juggler. And really, they're just getting Chapman for October. Unless they get some kind of agreement where you can sign him to an extension. Or else it's a heavy price just for getting a guy who may be pitching, you know, maximum 10, 11 games for you in October.
Yeah, and I heard they're already talking about the offer on the table may or may not be on the table is 4 years and $60 million for Chapman if they can, you know, if they can sign him prior or at least come to an agreement prior to making the actual deal. And Blue Jay fans here in Toronto, Bautista's back from Buffalo. Not sure if he's going to start tonight against the Padres, but you know, the Padres are a team that have a couple of guys that are in play, and the Jays have been a team that have been linked to Melvin Upton Jr. and Andrew Cashner. What's the chances are that both those guys or one of those guys gets moved from San Diego? And is Toronto really in the mix, or is it just a situation where they're just kicking tires on everything?
I think kicking tires, but, you know, I mean, Cashner, they want it, Ray. You know, he's been a big disappointment and kind of soft there and has never lived up to the expectations, particularly with that arm he has. And, you know, Upton has had a fine year, a bounce back year, playing a lot more like he did in Tampa than he ever did in Atlanta. And still plays fine defense. He can play center field. He's been playing left field. And so it'd be a nice pickup. He can run too. But, you know, he's making a lot of money. So there are about to be some severe financial repercussions in this deal. I mean, there's no way the Padres just get can't trade them without eating a lot of contract.
Our guest is Bob Nightingale from the USA Today, at B Nightingale on Twitter. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Joey Vendetta. It is 10:20 on this Monday, July the 25th. And Bob, look, yesterday we had two guys inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame that kind of took pretty divergent paths to getting there. And if you look at Ken Griffey Jr., he was the highest pick to ever get in, had the highest percentage of votes in the history of the process. And then you had Mike Piazza, who was the lowest draft pick to get in. So a pretty interesting day, but the one thing they did have in common was there were a lot of tears, a lot of thank yous. They were both very grateful, and they both had some incredibly kind words for their fathers. And I thought that the discussions and what they said were incredibly poignant on multiple levels. What was your take on yesterday's Hall of Fame inductions?
Yeah, I mean, both guys very, very emotional. I mean, Piazza started tearing up about 2 minutes into it. Griffey didn't even last 20 seconds. And particularly for Piazza, you know, I think his dad, you know, he was almost trying to make him the perfect hitter and doing everything possible, you know, building a batting cage at the house, bringing instructors. Even Ted Williams came over the house. So, you know, he did everything possible and, you know, even just to get Mike drafted, it was a 62nd round draft pick, only as a favorite at time in Lasorda, and self-made player, and you know, and just those guys were the greatest hitting catcher ever, and his defense wasn't as bad as people made out to be. And Griffey, you know, the first true 1-1 pick in baseball to ever make it, but always had a little bit of old expectations, and of course his dad, who was an all-star outfielder himself.
Yeah, and if you look at the, I guess, the era that they both played in, and we know we've discussed this before, but the, you know, the steroid era and a lot of tainted careers, Ken Griffey was kind of the poster child for the untainted career and how to carry yourself as a professional. And from, you know, unless my memory is failing me, I don't really remember any incidences that besmirched the guy's reputation. And how important was it to Ken Griffey to not be part of that, to not be lumped in, to not be discussed with those guys, and to go into the hall as clean as he did?
Yeah, very important. I mean, to, you know, Ken Griffey was just, everything was about playing the game pure and clean and having fun. And I don't think he could look himself in the mirror if he took performance-enhancing drugs. And he used to speak out about guys, you know, very quietly, knowing what was going on. And it bothered him. It bothered him a lot that there was so much, you know, drug use in the game. And, you know, of course, the opposite was Mike Piazza, who probably had more steroid suspicions and talk with him than any player in the steroid era. I mean, even more than Jose Canseco.
Yeah, it was just incredible to watch yesterday to see these two guys who, as I said, took some pretty different paths to get to Major League Baseball. One guy was a can't-miss blue-chip prospect, and another guy was pretty much an afterthought who ended up turning into a Hall of Famer. Bob, thank you very much for doing this. We'll talk to you soon. And once again, you can be followed on Twitter at B Nightingale. Thanks for being on the show, pal.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, Major League Baseball Network Insider. It is Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Our phone lines are always open to you for your opinion, your take, your thoughts. And what are those thoughts on your Toronto Blue Jays, and if there's a move to be made? Is it Jay Bruce bringing in a left-handed bat? Because I don't know what kind of pitching's out there and what you're going to have to give up to get it. And again, don't forget, the Orioles are looking hard, real hard, because that's their weakness. They have inferior starting pitching. So they're in the hunt as well for a deal. You know, they're talking to the Padres as well about Cashner. Again, I don't know that Cashner gets moved. He's got a 4-7 record. It's been a disappointment. But on a good team, is he better? And, of course, the Jays designate for assignment Drew Storen. He's done as a Blue Jay. Chris Colabello's in the minors until at least, you got to figure, until at least mid-August. Maybe they bring him up in September to pinch hit. But what's your take on what the Jays should do? Tonight, Jays, Padres. And are you going to be going? The Rogers Center has been packed. Jays are on fire attendance-wise, which just makes you Blue Jay fans even more rabid for a deal, right? The Padres are making their first trip to Toronto. Do you believe that? 20 years of interleague play, and the Padres have never been in Toronto. Aaron Sanchez on the mound leads the American League in quality starts. And with the way this bullpen has been, and again, yesterday it was fine. Brett Cecil was fine. Jay's bullpen was fine. We know what happened with Hap. Struggled a bit, but at the end of the day, only gave up one hit. You got to make a deal? Well, Jason Grilley was fine. Osuna was great. Cecil, scoreless seventh. And again, the seventh has been the Blue Jays' undoing all year. It's the one inning where you're sitting there going, oh, please don't. What do we need to do? We're going to go to Adam in Newmarket. Adam, it's 10:26. It's a Monday. The Jays against the Padres tonight. First time ever at the Rogers Center. Thanks for being on the program. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks. Pretty excited. I'm actually going to go to the game tonight.
You're going to get to see a really, really, really mediocre baseball team in San Diego, but at least you're going to look at the logo and go, hey, I've never seen that here before. So it's the first time they've played at the Rogers Center, and a couple of guys in the lineup. Yeah, first time they've ever played at the Rogers Center, San Diego, in 20 years in interleague play. They've never visited Toronto, so that'll now make it that every team in the National League has been to Toronto. So pretty interesting statistic. So what do you think the Jays need to do heading into the non-waiver trade deadline August 1st?
Well, I mean, my take is, I mean, consider if I take what they're saying as being true, if Sanchez is going to be moved to the bullpen, I think what we're going to need is a starting pitcher. I think Jay Bruce, I don't know what he's really going to bring to the table in terms of, you know, what Batista, getting him back. I mean, you have Pilar in center, you're going to have Saunders and Batista on the corners. I think where we're going to be weakest is our fourth starting pitcher, especially if we make it to the playoffs. We're going to have, I guess, you know, Stroman, Estrada, and Happ. And then we're going to need a fourth guy. So that's sort of what I think would be our what we need the most.
And listen, Jay Bruce has had, and thanks for the call, Jay Bruce has had a bit of a comeback year this year. His average is .269. He strikes out a lot, but a guy that brings you a bat from a side of the plate that you need. You know, he's got 21 home runs. He'll fit into this lineup that kind of lives and dies by the sword in terms of power, right? It's not a lineup that has manufactured a ton of runs, but you need an arm. You need a pitcher, because if Stroman has been good at times and not good at times, right? More good than not. J-Hap has been great. Estrada's coming back from being injured, and he's going to be good. No issue with him. But if Sanchez gets moved to the bullpen, that's a huge hole. He's 10-1, leads the league in quality starts. That's a huge stat. The quality start stat might be the most underrated stat. It leads the American League with 15 quality starts in 19 outings. You know what that says? Ace. That's how you describe an ace. In every start, he's pretty much given you a chance to win. He's at 125 and a third innings. His career high was 133. The innings limit is pretty much the governor for this guy. It's going to be the only way to slow him down. He's been on fire. And again, he said it himself. He put on 20 pounds of muscle. Why did he do that? He went into spring training saying, I'm going to be a starter. And he delivered. He said he was going to have a good year. He did the work in the offseason. If you do the work, you generally get the results. We weren't there for the work. You weren't there when he got up at 5 a.m. You weren't there when he was mixing the protein shakes and lifting the weights. He put on 20. You know how hard it is to put on 20 pounds of muscle? It's easy to put on 20 pounds. We can put on 20 pounds in a week. All you got to do is have a few burgers, some ice cream. Lie down while you're doing it. Okay, try putting on muscle. This guy did it. He's the Blue Jays ace in my mind. J-Hap, notwithstanding, wins, what is he, 13? Yeah, from a win standpoint, yes. But all I know is that Aaron Sanchez is the guy that if I have one game that I have to win, one game, who are you starting if you're the Toronto Blue Jays? Aaron Sanchez, that's who you're starting. It's not even a discussion. And ironically enough, he's the guy we're talking about going to the bullpen. Crazy. We're going to take a break. It's 10:31. It's Joey Vendetta. 32 degrees. It's hot out there. Going to be a nice week. May get some showers later in the week as well. Argos tonight at BMO against the Als. Jays at the Rogers Center against the Padres. We're going to take your calls next when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Hi, this is Kiefer Sutherland. You're listening to Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It is 20 minutes in front of 11 o'clock. It's Monday, July the 25th. Might get a thunderstorm later this week. Finally got some rain last night. High of around 32. Should be all right tonight for the Argo game and for the Jays game. Wonder if the roof will be open. I imagine the dome will be open. J-Hap battling his way through six scoreless innings. Ed Wing reaching another milestone on Sunday. Cranking another one. You got to love a good crank. The bullpen was fine. Brett Cecil, scoreless seventh. Allowing just a walk, and Jason Grilli and Roberto Osuna were perfect in both the innings they pitched. Right? They got smoked the day before, and then they got a one-hit shutout. Edwin hits his 27th of the season. 427 feet. 87th rib of the year. Tonight, the Padres, for the first time ever, we'll be at the Rogers Center. 20 years of interleague play. That's how long it took. They send Colin Ray to the mound. 5-4. And the Jays, of course, countering with Aaron Sanchez, who's 10-1 and leads the American League with 15 quality starts. We are taking your calls. What do the Jays need to do? And also talking about Chris Sale chopping up his uniform. We'll go to Twitter and read some of your tweets, because I appreciate them. At Radio Vendetta, you know where I'm at. Party 73, at our Party 73, says, the Sale incident reminds me of the Costanza cotton uniforms. Hashtag Seinfeld. How about George Costanza on Seinfeld, working for the New York Yankees? One of the greatest parts of that show was this guy who did the George Costanza? Costanza? Get in here. What is this burrito? That was the greatest. Larry David doing that was just incredible. Creo Media, speaking the truth, how can you trust R.A. Dickey in a postseason game? Listen, I like R.A. Dickey a lot. But am I putting him in a game that matters? That's tough. Tough. Brad Seftel says he'd start Estrada in a one game wild card. I'd go with Sanchez. Leonard Howell, their pitching scares the crap out of me. Very inconsistent. Well, three guys have been very consistent. One guy has not been consistent but has been good. And one guy has been consistently inconsistent. And you know who I'm talking about. Let's go to Clifton in Etobicoke. Clifton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It is 17 minutes in front of 11 o'clock. Are you keeping cool, Clifton?
Oh, yeah, I'm keeping cool, but Chris Sale has gotten under my skin, though.
Why has he gotten under your skin? Is it under your skin because we're talking about it too much or just
what he did? No, listen, man. Like, I'm a sports fan, through and through. But behaviors like these, Joey, I have no time for. Now, I mean, this clubhouse sounds like a nursery school. Is that one guy, you would tell him he can't bring his son in and he takes his stuff and he go home. And now you have Chris Sale, you tell him you can't wear that shirt and he cut up this. I mean, come on, I feel bad for Robin Ventura here. These are adults, man. And especially one of your top guys. This is supposed to be a guy setting an example for these other guys. You know, like, you can't win with these guys, Joey.
No, you can't. Look, the Chicago White Sox are not winning anything. Let's start there. And Clifton, thanks for the call. But I got the guy I feel for, as you said, and it's a great point, is Robin Ventura, the manager, who played many years in Major League Baseball and was a class act for his career and has been a class act as the manager. And he has the best part of the quote, right? His quote that says, everybody wears a uniform that they don't necessarily like, but you wear it. If you want to rip it up after, you can rip it up after. I've seen guys rip it up after. Bingo. You have a marketing department and a team that is planned for this promotion. And the promotion was the 1976 blue throwbacks with the disco collars. Right? It was like they were going to Studio 54. Those giant collars. And I think the only jerseys ever that were designed to not be tucked in. So they have a big promotion. The fans are getting jerseys. Big day. Take your kid to the game, and all of a sudden, Chris Sale ruins it for everybody. Ruins it for the Sox, ruins it for the fans. The front office is completely disrespected. The poor people that work in the marketing department, I mean, come on. He's in the clubhouse arguing with someone from the team from the front office. And you know that he's ripping the guy because he ripped Williams. The guy's a senior vice president. Ripped him. For the Adam LaRoche incident where LaRoche was bringing his kid into the clubhouse. And I didn't agree with that anyway. So, you know what? It's cool. Bring your kid to work once in a while. Show him what you do for a living. Give me a break. You bring your kid every day and he has his own locker? Come on. Get serious. Rocky, in Markham, you're on Sportsnet. 590 The Fan. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you this morning, Joey?
I'm quite well, and I'm concerned, like you are, about the... Look, the free agent class coming up, not great. The team needs a couple of things. The Blue Jays need a few things, but it's almost like addition by whatever's available in the sense that if you can get Jay Bruce, do you pick him up if you get him at a reasonable cost? I guess you kind of have to, but you need a pitcher, and you need maybe more than one pitcher. So it's, again, as I've been saying all morning, it is definitely not a buyer's market right now. So what are your concerns? What do you think the Blue Jays need heading into August 1st?
I completely agree with you. I think that pitching should be the main priority at this point in time. But, you know, heading toward the deadline, if it gets closer that they don't end up getting a pitcher, I would think that it doesn't hurt to get another bat because I remember in 93 when the Blue Jays there were rumors about them going after Randy Johnson, and it didn't work out. So what they did is they went after another bat, and they ended up getting a player like Ricky Henderson, who's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, they ended up winning the World Series. So I think that if they don't go after a pitcher, it doesn't hurt to go after another bat. And, you know, keep that in mind. I think, you know, I think Jay Bruce makes sense because he has another year. I think Carlos Gonzalez makes sense as well. Another player maybe could also make sense is Carlos Beltran because historically, when it comes to the playoffs, he's one of the best playoff performances in baseball history. And, you know, when you think about Carlos Beltran, he has a bounce back year. He's an all-star this year. And with that lineup, it's already good. But when you add Beltran to that lineup, that makes it lethal, in my opinion. So... you know that the AL East, there's a bunch of hitters, and it doesn't hurt to add another bat.
No, it's a murderer's row. If you're not going to be able to add a pitcher, and thanks for the call,
thank you,
Rocky, and if you're not going to add a pitcher of substance, of consequence, if you're just going to add another arm to add another arm, I guess you can do that. As McCowan says, and I agree with him, you're better off having 10 $1 million pitchers than one $10 million pitcher coming out of the bullpen because you can just toss guys. Look at Drew Storen. They gave him every opportunity. Now, John Gibbons says that, hey, maybe I didn't pitch him enough. Maybe I didn't pitch him in the right situations. Maybe I didn't give him enough of a chance. When the guy's got an ERA of over 6 and he's lost his velocity, how much choice does John Gibbons have? The window for the Toronto Blue Jays is this year and next year. And the window's got better blinds and drapes on it this year because you've got Edwin and you've got Jose. And you've got Saunders. Guys, these guys are – you're going to lose guys. This isn't going to be the same team next year. Jay Mitchell tweets in, at JT Commit Fit, or at JT Commit Fit. Must own a gym or something. He's got a pretty good avatar. I think he's sporting a six-pack, or maybe that's a 40-ouncer. I'm not sure. All the Jays need is Joey Votto and Andrew Miller. I would be satisfied with that. Yeah, who wouldn't? You picked up Joey Votto and Andrew Miller, just that's over, done. You go to the World Series if everyone stays healthy. That's pretty much all you need. Because now all of a sudden your bullpen gets slotted completely differently. If you have Grilly, Cecil, Osuna, and Miller, oh, I just got chills thinking about it. Don Buma. At DBuma77, Jay still need another backup catcher. Would you consider trading Dickey and Tolley? Yeah, I trade Tolley. I trade them both. Look, Russell Martin has not been great. He makes a lot of money. His defense has not been great. His arm has not been great. Again, you know, last year had a lot of miles. Catching the knuckleball hurt him last year. Well, this year he hasn't had to do it. Tolley's actually had some ribs in the last couple of weeks. So, again, that's another position that you could upgrade. But, unfortunately, you have too much money tied up in Russell Martin, so that's going to be incredibly difficult. We got time for one more call here. It is 10:50. We're going to take a break. But let's take one more call and hang on the line. We'll get to all your calls. But hang on the line. We're going to talk to John in Oshawa. John, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thanks a lot for listening. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. It's good to hear your voice again, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. So what are your thoughts? What do the Blue Jays need? What's the move?
I think there's a couple of things, and you'd mentioned one earlier. First of all, I think they need to protect Sanchez, let him start tonight, and then put him in the bullpen for the long relief. That would shore up the bullpen.
What do you do for a starter? Who takes his slot?
Is go after Chris Archer.
Yeah.
From Tampa Bay. Unfortunately, you're going to have to give up some asset to get him, and unfortunately, I would say like someone like Devin Travis, and I'm not worried about Sanchez, but Travis and Sanchez for Archer. And then I would definitely make...
Wait. Hold on. You just said you're going to trade Sanchez for Archer?
No.
Okay.
What's his name? Jesse...
Chavez.
Chavez.
Yeah. I get those. We got to take a break here. Thanks for the call. It is 10:52. And look, we had a tweet too as well really quickly here. Michael Segretti, if I'm the Jays, I go after Josh Reddick. He resigns here. He resigns here, no problem. He'll thrive at Rogers Center. He's actually hurt. He was scratched from the lineup a couple of days ago. I don't know what the latest. He had some back stiffness, and the Cubs are after him as well. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with our number three on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Joey Vendetta. We're going to talk some TFC. We're going to talk some Canadian Open. We're going to talk more Blue Jays when we return on The Fan, Sportsnet 590.